Hello, this is Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 14, and today we'll be talking about things that you could incorporate in classrooms that may benefit not only kids with special needs, but potentially any of the kids in the classroom. Before I get started with the discussion, if you would take a minute at the end of today's episode to subscribe to this show on your app and click on the star ratings for me, I would really appreciate it. It will let me know you are out there listening, and it can help move my show up higher in the iTunes and the other directories so that more people might be able to find it. The research study that I've chosen for today is one that if you're a teacher, you may have already heard about. The title of the study is Stability Balls and Students with Attention and Hyperactivity Concerns, Implications for On-Task and In-Seat Behavior. The study was a small group where they observed 8 students in 4th and 5th grades in one school. 5 of the students had a diagnosis of ADHD, or Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, and the other 3 students had the symptoms of ADHD but no formal diagnosis. None of the kids were on medications, and all 8 of them had an IEP, or an Individualized Education Plan, for behavior and academic improvement at school. For those of you who aren't familiar with the term IEP, it is a plan that is written by the school for an individual child who would benefit from additional supports while at school to meet their specific learning needs. This is often thought of for kids who have special needs related to learning delays, but can also be used with kids who are in gifted programs as well. In this particular study, the 8 students were observed by 3 college students from the University of Kentucky. They were observed and data was collected 3 times per week for 30 minutes each time for each individual student. The intervention lasted for 12 weeks. They were observed during language arts, math, and social studies times. Every student in all of the classrooms involved was given a stability ball instead of a chair to use at their desk. However, the observers only collected data on the 8 students that I mentioned earlier. The stability ball is a yoga ball or a therapy ball. For this study, I think they use the ones that have 4 legs built into the ball on one side of it. They are made out of the same material as the rest of the ball, but just come down to look like 4 tiny legs, which help hold it in place so they don't roll around or roll out from underneath you very easily. They literally make the ball more stable. I have a link to the website in the show notes today for the company that measured all of the kids for their own stability ball to use during this particular study. There are many versions of this type thing, and you might even see adults using them in their work office instead of a chair. Now, the observations in this study were based on whether the child was sitting on their ball or not, and whether they were attending to the task or not. The results indicated that the time spent in their seat, which was the ball, and the time spent on task improved greatly over the 12-week time period. Before the stability balls were introduced, the children sat in their seats an average of 45% of the time, and after the 12 weeks using the ball, they were in their seat approximately 94% of the time. Also, before the stability balls were introduced, the children were on task an average of 10% of the time, and this jumped to almost 80% of the time while using the stability balls. Some of the teachers said they noticed that the at-risk students seemed to like the ball, and it kept them in their seats, the ball, longer. 2 of the teachers also said they wanted to tell the students to stop bouncing on the balls at times because they thought it would be distracting to themselves and to the other kids. However, they did not stop them and ultimately realized it seemed to help them stay in their seat more and stay on task more when they were using them. Now, this study had a small sample size, but it did seem to show that using stability balls in the classroom could be an effective way to improve the attention and behavior of kids who have a diagnosis of or just symptoms of ADHD. I think it goes without saying, but I will say it anyway, just in case it doesn't, that if the kids are able to pay more attention, it may also help improve their ability to learn. One thing we haven't talked about here is Why do stability balls help kids with ADHD or symptoms of ADHD pay more attention to their tasks and sit longer? There could be a number of reasons, but one of the big reasons probably has to do with sensory processing. Interesting thing about this study was that the other kids in the class who did not have ADHD or symptoms of ADHD also used stability balls during this time. And the teachers reported that those kids also seemed to stay on task and stay in their seats more than they did before, although the kids with ADHD had more dramatic improvements from before and during the use of the stability ball. The movement and the change in pressure while sitting on the stability ball continuously provides sensory information to the kids using them. Any little movement, even subtle ones, makes their body react and respond appropriately to maintain sitting upright. This constant adjusting helps with those kids who need extra movements and extra deep pressure for their sensory needs to be met. If you've listened to my shows on sensory processing, you may know which two areas I'm talking about. The two areas are vestibular and proprioceptive sensory processing. Vestibular is where your head is in space or in the environment, and your inner ear canals help you determine which way is up. Moving your head in different directions can be stimulating and increase your self-awareness. The kids were observed to bounce on the stability balls and fidget on them. I am imagining them rocking side to side or back and forth, even slightly, which changes your head position in space. It is also alerting due to the stop and go motion of the fluid in your inner ears, which makes sense because the kids who use the stability balls showed an increase in their attention to tasks. Proprioception is the sense that helps you figure out where your body is in space. Pressure on your muscles and joints helps you determine where you are so you don't fall over or bump into things around you. Sitting on the ball and constantly feeling the slight changes in the pressure on the ball is also alerting. They can get some additional pressure through their feet and legs by having their feet on the floor and shifting around or bouncing on the stability ball. We do also need to consider the child's core strength and endurance as well. If the child has low core strength, there is the potential for them to become tired from trying to continue sitting up on the ball for longer periods of time. You don't want this to interfere with their ability to learn because they are either tired from sitting on it or they are too busy trying to stay upright and they actually can't pay attention to their task. A smaller, less obvious piece of equipment for a classroom is sometimes called a disco sit, a balance disc, or a seating disc. There are many different styles and brands, but they all work essentially the same way. They are made out of the same material as the therapy or yoga stability balls, but instead of being a large ball, they are a flattened disc. You fill the disc with air to the correct amount for that specific type. They are usually anywhere from approximately 1 to 3 inches tall when they're filled with air. These discs can fit on most chairs. You just set it on top of the chair, and the person sits on top of the disc. It is similar to the stability ball, but it is more stable on its own because the legs of the chair are steady. However, the child can still wiggle back and forth on the disc and get some movement and pressure this way. These are highly portable and can be moved to the floor as well for circle time with younger kids or any floor activity for the older kids. For kids that need the visual reminder or visual cue of where to sit, when they're sitting on the floor, this can be a perfect item to use. It also allows them to continue getting the movement and pressure they need if they're using it for sensory processing reasons, and it might help them stay with the activity that the rest of the class is doing. Parents can also use these discs at home to help kids sit in their chair for meals or even just while playing with toys or reading books on the floor. Now, some schools may be able to provide these things to a limited number of kids, and mostly for those kids who would really benefit from them the most. The cost would be pretty high financially, trying to get a stability ball for every child in the school or in the district. That's just not an option in most places. So here are some other things to consider for classrooms that could potentially benefit all kids. One of these things is simple. Sensory breaks. Not just for kids with special needs, and not just for kids with that are in the younger grades, but for all kids. All of the elementary age kids should get sensory breaks, even though the older ones are more mature and they can understand that they are supposed to sit longer and keep doing their work. They still need to have the opportunities to get up and move. Even as adults, we have our limits. When I've gone to lectures and conferences as an adult, I can only take so much before I have to get up and walk around or at least stand up. The first half of the day is pretty good, but by the second half, usually after lunch, it can be so hard to pay attention, and I don't even have sensory issues. When the information is interesting to me and that I'm listening to at the conference and that I want to hear more about, I still feel the need to get up and move around so that I can keep paying attention. This is not uncommon, but we do expect our kids to do it every day in school. Recess is a perfect opportunity for kids to get up and move around, to re-energize their bodies again, to get ready and sit, and learn more in the classroom. Unfortunately, as the kids get older, they often get less time for recess. Now, I know it can be distracting, and teachers often don't like that, but if it becomes part of the daily routine to do sensory breaks, I would expect it to become less and less distracting with time. The breaks can be simple, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, one time per hour, during class times when the kids have been sitting for a longer amount of time. An example of a break could look like this. Everyone stands up, they reach both hands up in the air, bend over and touch their toes, reach hands back up, repeat that 5 times, then do 5 jumping jacks, and then 5 push-ups. They could maybe repeat that entire thing 3 times, or do it just a total of 3 times. Either way, this is not to wear them out or get them into shape for anything. The point is to get their head moving in different positions through space, bending over and touching their toes and coming back up, and up and down while jumping gets their head moving, and getting some joint pressure through their legs and arms, for example, with the jumping and push-ups. Now, this is not a gold standard routine or anything like that. It's just an example of a possible sensory break situation. If you just think about different ways to get their head to change position and for them to get some pressure through their arms and legs, you should be good. Just telling them to stand up and wiggle or stretch isn't going to be enough to get the job done. With the younger kids like preschool and kindergarten, there are plenty of songs out there that can get them moving and they would probably like to follow along with. Something to keep an eye out for are the kids that are constantly chewing on their pencils or pens, or sometimes even their clothing. Even kids that don't have any diagnoses or sensory issues can have this tendency where they seem to have some type of need for chewing or putting non-food items in their mouth past the age where they are doing this for exploration. And once they're in school, they should be past that time. There are many products out there made for kids who need to continue chewing or have this sensory need. By the way, the chewing or biting is often seen in school-age kids because they need to feel the pressure on their teeth, jaw, and muscles around this area. There are items such as chewy toppers that go on the ends of pencils and pens, chewy necklaces or other jewelry that are made specifically for chewing on, chewy tubes, although these are usually for the younger kids, and even just simply using chewing gum or fruit snacks or some other type of chewy foods. Sometimes this is a coping strategy for kids who have some type of nervousness or anxious feelings for some reason. The deep pressure of the biting down, especially when they can bite and hold, or we call that having a sustained bite, this pressure can be calming for kids and for anyone, really. Now, for teachers, these would have to be something that you might mention to parents as possible options, just based on your observations in class, but not something I would recommend that you offer to the kids directly. Some of the items, especially like with the pencil toppers, you would want the parents to use them with a child who is aware enough to know that once they bite through the chewy item, and eventually it happens because it gets worn down, that the child will know they need to throw it away and get a new one. Unless the child has one-on-one assistance with them, like with a paraprofessional who can keep track of this for them. Another thing teachers could consider having available in their classroom would be weighted objects like a weighted lap pad or a pillow, something that weighs not too much, but is enough to help a child who is feeling wound up feel calm. They can use the item depending on what it is. Most likely, it would be something they can set across their lap while they're sitting in their seats. I would consider talking to your school's occupational therapist about other ideas and how to incorporate something like this safely in the classroom. There are many different options for weighted lap pads and things available to purchase that are made for kids, and they are safe. Please check out my show notes or the website for how to find these items and the other items that I've mentioned today as well. Hopefully this has given you some things to think about with school-age kids and their ability to pay attention at school. And also for parents to consider if your child's teacher mentions that they are often distracted or not paying attention or something like that as an ongoing issue or concern, you can keep these things in your mind as well to see if they could be something your child would benefit from at school or also at home as well. Thank you so much for listening.